Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 547th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today.
Howdy ho to Generinos, and welcome to episode 547 of the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Good night to one of our YouTube friends, Chris L, who commented on one of our videos, and he has a Misfits logo as his avatar, and I've been listening to a lot of Misfits recently, so it all adds up here. So thank you, Chris L. Thank you, everyone. Those PFL videos have been quite popular this go-around on YouTube, so thank you, everyone, who is subscribing and watching our videos on the MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. I am one of your hosts for this year episode. No matter where you're consuming it, I will be your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. Not a PFL episode. We've got the PFL all covered for you. Go back. The past two episodes were PFL. This episode will be Cage Warriors 171. No UFC this week, but it does not matter, as we've spoken of in the past. It really doesn't matter because we have a special weapon on this here podcast when it comes to non-UFC picks. I've been kicking his butt in UFC this year, but I don't even try to compete in regional MMA. It would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello, regional god.
It's been a while since we've done Cage Warriors, though, huh? I mean, like, we make sure we get it in there once in a while, but maybe they just haven't been holding that many events. Maybe
let me see.
Their events seem more sparse lately. Either that or they're less memorable because they're not like the big title fight ones. They're like, hey, let's go to Dublin, or hey, now we're in, where are we this week? Scotland? We're in Scotland this
yes,
week?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Like, we did Cage Warriors 170 because that was when Paul Hughes came in last minute. Paul. So
yeah, Dana yeah. Hughes. Yeah. So that's true. Maybe
it's a whole 2 weeks ago. So yeah, it's been a whole 2 weeks.
Slipping my memory with so much good PFL happening. So,
listen to you. Boy, yeah, things have changed, eh?
Make sure you go back and listen to No, I was saying it was good even before I was hitting the picks too. They've gotten a little better. Also, whether you like our PFL stuff, our UFC stuff, or our Cage Warrior stuff, click the subscribe button. When I say it at the beginning of the episode, the subscribes go up. So, here's me doing my due diligence. Click that now. It's still saying, like 65% of the people who watch our PFL videos are non-subscribers. So let's see if we can at least make that 50-50. So hit that subscribe button and get us help us get up to 500. We're inching ever so closely.
How much do we charge people to hit subscribe? How much does it cost them?
It's free 50.
What? It's free. Yeah.
It's free 50.
And they still don't do it?
And you can turn the notifications off if they really annoy you.
yes.
So like, how's your life going to change other than you'll have a whole bunch of winning picks if you want?
I get annoyed seeing my face, so I understand. if you don't want a notification. The company claims we talked about that hat before. Have we?
Yeah, these are the Beloit Skycarp
Of course,
which is obvious. Yeah. No, I remember we talked about it.
Yeah,
he's
I remember, he's got a wrench
in his hand, and like yes, you debated in the end whether or not it was a wrench.
Obviously, is the skycarp a bird?
I'm pretty sure it's just like a fancy name for a goose.
Really?
Yeah, because it looks like a goose, but they're the skycarp. So it makes
sense. I know what a carp. I know what a carp is. I know what a goose is.
Carp's a garbage fish. Goose is a garbage bird. Yeah, so like it makes sense.
Do you know what their mascot's name is? Beloit Skycarp.
Oh, the Beloit Skycarp. No, I got no idea. Is it something?
Poopsie.
Poopsie. Poopsie. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. This episode goes out to Poopsie.
Yeah, shout out Poopsie.
I guess I already dedicated it to someone. All right, so yeah, we're doing Cage Warriors, as Gumby said. Any news to cover beforehand? I don't think anything exciting has happened in MMA since UFC 300, right?
Joe Pyfer just got rebooked for his first rebound fight. He's fighting Marc-Andre Barrio. That's kind of fun.
Oh, power bar.
Yeah, yeah. That's the right kind of step back for him after faltering in the last fight.
Yep. That's still a tough fight, though.
Yeah, it's a tough fight, but like the right kind of step back, right? Like it's not a ranked guy, but it's a guy who's like, sort of been nipping at the heels of the ranks.
Yep. Very true. Very true. All right. Let's jump into it because people love when we talk off the top. But before we jump into it, we got a promo. We want to give you things, okay? Don't get mad at me for talking some more before we break down fights because we're giving you away free stuff. The NFL draft is just around the corner. I have a feeling I'm going to be passed over once again this year. And Old Fashioned Football is giving away some autographed merch to celebrate. JSN. Who's JSN, Gumby?
Who's JSN? I don't know. A football player. JSN.
JSN, Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins, Frank Gore. I know some of those guys and many more. Old Fashioned Football. Come for the football. Stay for the whiskey. Go to sportsgamingpodcast.com/off-contest. That's O-F-F contest. You don't know. You're trying to figure out who JSN is.
No, it's Jackson Smith Najibba. I'm just totally spaced when you said it originally, but it's Jackson Smith Najibba.
Jackson Smith Najibba. Okay, if you say so. Let's talk about some fisticuffs, shall we? Cage Wars 171 is going down, as we mentioned off top, in Glasgow, Scotland. Maybe we didn't say where in Scotland. Glasgow, Scotland. April the 20th, which would be this coming Saturday, which is good. No UFC, so you got yourself some fights regardless. 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, UFC Fight Pass, Cage Wars 171, in the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow, Scotland. 18 fights. Gumby has picked the five that he's most interested in and that probably maybe have the best odds for. And are we doing a lightning round at the end?
Yeah, so these, for the record, Cage Warriors notoriously bad at setting their main card before we record. So, like, if you look at their Tapology page, it is very clearly not the actual order. So what I got for you here is what I believe to be what I would put as the main card. And then, yeah, I got, like, two or three picks at the end here for you in the lightning round, too, just in case we should not happen to hit some of the ones that will wind up being higher up.
You've done pretty good with your lightning round picks, have you not?
Recently? Yeah, I swept on CFFC last week, but I was a little bit bummed out in the odds. So, like, we didn't have the odds before they came out. My guys both wound up, like, 250, 270. So, like, they weren't as close to pick them as I was hoping. And then PFL was a little over 50% with a dog in there or so. So, we got some winners in there, and maybe we got some winners in there today.
We shall see. We're kicking things off with a fight with, I think you just picked this one because you want me to try to say these names. Is that correct? Is that not correct?
Are we at lightweight? I'm unsure about the order here. Okay.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
3 5-minute rounds at lightweight. We don't plan things in advance, people. Konstantinos Nitellis from Greece, not surprisingly. Jan, or is it Jan? It's probably John. Jan. Quay Higgins, I guess it's not that hard, unless I said it wrong. Quay Higgins.
No, I think you said it right. Quay Higgins. What?
And he is from Belgium. There you go. 3 5-minute rounds, 155 pounds. And we will start off with Nitellis. How about? This one's pretty much a pick 'em. The Gambler is the nickname. Fitting. We should adopt this man for our show. We'll see if Gumby wants to pick him first, and then perhaps we have to adopt someone named The Gambler. Nitellis, not Nutella. Is 8-2, 1 knockout, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's won 2 straight and 7 of 8. Both of his past 2 wins have come via finish. He's not lost since October 2021. Used to fight at welterweight, upper weight class, was regional champion, 9 years younger than Quay Higgins. He also is a grappler where he went, where he has gone 2-0 as a pro grappler, and he's -110. Quay Higgins, the Q bomb, obviously, is the nickname. 11-5, 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. So he's been finishing all of his losses. 4-2 in Cage Wars. 5-1 over his last 6. Got knocked out in his last fight, though. He's fed at welterweight as well. Regional champion, 2014 pro MMA debut. 2 inches taller than Natalis, -120. What can you tell us about these gentlemen?
So this is a real big styles clash for this pair of lightweights, because Natalis is a guy who... He doesn't look particularly comfortable on his feet. He's a guy who likes like big loopy overhands, and he pretty much only throws those so he can get to your legs. In all the fights that I've watched him in, I think he really thrives on the ground. Like the way he chains wrestling attempts together, pretty darn good. I do worry about him giving up position once in a while, because he's been reversed in fights where he's up against the guy who's a good grappler. So he's a solid wrestler, maybe not so great at jiu-jitsu. Kind of a striker with only means to an end and uses overhand rights to close the distance. Quay Higgins, on the other hand, I really like how he uses his length. He is pretty big for lightweight, especially compared to Natalis. I think he said Natalis is 5'9". I think Quay Higgins has got to be 6 footer just about. So, like, he's a big, tall guy, and he uses that length pretty well to, like, pick people apart from the outside. I think for that reason, Natalis is going to have a really hard time closing the distance. In addition to that, most of the time Quay Higgins is gotten shot on, he stuffs the first attempt pretty darn well. Like, he gets his hips away. Sometimes people who shoot 2 or 3 times or reshoot or, you know, like chain their wrestling attempts together, sometimes they do a little bit better against him than others. But I will say this, Natalis's tendency to sort of get countered or to get swept sometimes by a guy who's just like stronger than him or bigger than him, I think bodes poorly for him here too. So I'm going to take Quay Higgins. I think he picks him apart from the outside. I think anytime they get in grappling exchanges, he does well enough to get himself back up and not wind up losing rounds there. So I'll take Quay Higgins as an ever so slight favorite.
All right. The Q-bomb. What is a Q-bomb?
I don't know.
Is that his big looping right hand? Is he the guy with the big looping right hand?
No, that's Natalis. Natalis. He's sharp and picks apart from the outside. Right. Yeah.
He's apparently a Q-bomb, whatever that is. All right. As Gumby said, they don't set their fight order very well here. So I'm jumping around in Tapology. Okay. Because we are Tapology cappers after all. This is a Bantamweight fight callback. 3 5-minute rounds. Jack Eglin, England versus Dan Deutz. Didn't we just talk about this guy?
Dan Deutz? Netherlands?
Dan Deutz. We've talked about him before.
First of all, it's just Dan, just like you say my name. You don't have to double down the A.
Don Deutz.
Deutz. Yeah. We've talked about him a couple of times. He's also been on Top Turtle MMA.
Okay. Okay. Just like I say your name, you set me up for a lot of good jokes there, and I'm just going to let him go and move on. People are here for the picks. Deutz, 9-2, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. So he has finished everyone. He's been submitted himself 1 time. He owes his rounds by my math. 2-1 in Cage Wars, 3-1 over his last 4, won his last fight via TKO. Used to fight at upper weight class, featherweight, +160. Eglin, 4-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's finished everyone as well, and he's also been finished in all his losses. He has been knocked out once, submitted once. 2-2 in Cage Wars. He's won 2 straight fights, however, both via TKO. 3 years younger than Deutz, -200.
So I'm gonna roll the dice with an underdog here in Dan Deutz, for a couple of reasons. Number one, first of all, I do have to sing the praises of Jack Eglin, because he has looked a lot better in his last couple of fights. I really like his boxing. His body work is exceptional. In that last fight, after really struggling in the first round, he came out looking like the fresher fighter and just absolutely pieced up his opponent's body and poured it on. I will say the worrisome part about that is how he struggled in round 1 in his last fight. He was taken down. He had his back taken. It looked like he was possibly going to get subbed. And like, he was in a bad position when the bell rang. So with all of those things being said, now he's fighting Dan Deutz, who is first of all, a judo black belt, but not just a judo black belt. He's a guy who's really figured out how to blend both his judo with like some more standard traditional wrestling for MMA. Like, he's got like a double leg and stuff like that to go along with his judo. And then when the double leg fails, he's got all the judo trips that he needs in order to finish things. And then in addition to that, he's really worked jiu-jitsu into his game too. He looks really solid on the ground with really good sub skills. You mentioned Eglin's been sub before. He looked like he almost was going to get sub last time. I do think the longer this fight goes, the more it favors Eglin, because he is a guy who stays incredibly fresh, even if the fight is grueling. And Joyce is the guy is going to have to bring some kind of like grueling pace, which might tire himself out more than Eglin. But I do think if Joyce gets it to the ground early, has a good chance of finishing it in that first round. So plus 160 on a guy who's got a very clear path to victory for me makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to go with Joyce here as a slight underdog.
All right. Even though you talked to him on Top Turtle.
So still... that was a minute ago.
and he's still alive. That's a good sign.
Yeah. He hasn't had his appendix exploded or anything like that.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Before we move on, I think I have one of our fine sponsors to tell you about, and it would be Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here. The play-ins are happening as we speak, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting for you. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, as I've been telling you episode after episode. Playing the pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. You make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports, including they do have UFC on there. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Where Gumby is. You should move up here, but no, where Jeff Chalks is. So if you want some help with your NBA picks, MLB picks, all that stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place for you to go. So make sure you check that out. New customers get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up with our code, of course, MMASGPN. So don't forget, pick'em special. They have a pick'em special for the Friday playing games on that would be this Friday coming up. There is a playing game Friday, isn't there? There's a win or go home game on Friday. So make sure you check that out this coming Friday. Actually, every day, check out Underdog Fantasy and make sure you sign up with our code MMASGPN. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, MMASGPN. All right, enough.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Featuring ad reads, let's butcher some more fighter names and breakdowns. All right, we're going to, we're sticking actually with bantamweight. Aiden Stephen from Scotland. And he is fighting someone named Gianluca Scatoli. From Italy. Yeah, you guessed it, didn't you? All right. Tell you about Scatoli first. 9-3, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted twice. 1-0 cage warriors. It's part of a 4-fight winning streak. Before that, he had lost 3 straight fights. He's fed at featherweight. 2011 pro MMA debut, minus 115. Is it Stefan or Steven Gumby? Do you know?
I think it's Steven, but I could be wrong.
Steven. What I do know is he's the phenomenal. He's 9-4, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 5-3 in cage wars, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win over his last 6 fights. He's not fought, however, since December of 2021. He's not lost in March of 2021. Used to fight up a weight class at featherweight and up another weight class at lightweight, minus 115. So pick him fight. Let us know what you think about it, Gumby.
So when I was getting ready to break this one down, so I didn't know too much about Scatoli. Spicoli? Yeah, Spicoli.
Spicoli, yes.
Other than he's played by Sean Penn. It's Sean Penn that plays him, right? You didn't.
Yes,
you
know, it is.
You, told my joke there, and I was like, oh, shit, did I get the actor wrong? Anyway, Cthulhu, I didn't know much about him. And I just knew that the way that I've watched Aiden Stephen fight, I was like, I really enjoy watching him. He's like a really crafty grappler. Not much in the way of wrestling, certainly not much in the way of striking, but it's just like, he's so slick on the ground. And it's one of those guys who kind of finds submissions everywhere. But if you watch the fights he's lost, it's literally just, I don't have any way to get this down and I'm going to get beat up. Against Thomas Arrilla. Was it Thomas Arrilla? Man, I should really have Tapology open, but I don't. Tapology is a funny thing.
Yeah, I bet you do. You always Thomas, do.
Thomas Arrilla, when they fought, he tried to pull guard on him and then just like 8-3 consecutive elbows and the fight was over. And it was just like one of those times where you're like, oh, truly, if somebody just punishes him for trying to do this, they're gonna beat him. And so then when I watched Gianluca Scicoli, I was like, I really think this guy will probably get subbed. No offense to Italian fighters, but in general, they tend not to have the greatest jiu-jitsu and sometimes have slightly padded records fighting on the Italian regional scene. But then when I watched him, his takedown defense is actually pretty damn good. And I don't love the fundamentals of his striking. Sometimes it is just like, man, is he trying to throw the hardest hook that he's ever thrown before? And it sometimes back to back, two of the hardest hooks you've ever seen. It's like he's hitting on a heavy bag with no knowledge that strikes might come back in the opposite direction. But luckily for him in this fight, I don't think strikes will come back in the other direction, at least not dangerous ones. So you got Scicoli with like a real clear idea of what he wants to do here. He wants to stay on the feet. And he's shown that he's been able to do that in the past. And I think if Steven tries to pull guard or something like that, I think Scicoli is going to just back away and force him to stand. I think if he knows better. And if he doesn't, like, he just needs to do what Harilla did, which was just drop a whole bunch of hammers on him right away and make him pay for trying to do such a thing. So I'm going to take Scicoli here which is wild because I've told you before, I am a little bit hesitant to take guys off. I mean, he's fought for Cage Warriors before, but guys off the Italian regional scene. But I think that clear advantage of stuff in the takedown here is going to play.
Okie dokie. All right. It looks like they've switched the order of fights since I broke them down. So I believe as of now, the co-main event is Rhys McEwen, Scotland versus Cameron Else from England. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that sounds good.
At least according to the poster, it is, but we don't really care what
they're going to give. I think they're going to give Bungard the main event if that means anything. Yeah. So,
yep.
I think whether or not they've updated it or not, it was Thomas or Tobias Arrilla, not Thomas Arrilla, Tobias Arrilla, by the way, I was right about that.
There you go. There you go. All right. So we're going to break down the other fight, as I just told you now, Cameron Else and the other Scottish gentleman, Rhys McEwen. We'll talk about Else first. Cam Cheetah, obviously, is his nickname. That's a real animal, just like a sky carp is, right? A Cam Cheetah.
Oh, a Cam Cheetah. I think yes. We talked about this when he was in the UFC and hypothesized that it was some sort of drink, milk-based drink.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like an animal to me, like a chinchilla or something. Anyhow, the Cam Cheetah is 10-6, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. We finished everyone. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, 2-2 in Cage Warriors. He has lost 2 straight fights, though, both via TKO. He's not fought since April of 2022. He's not won since February of 2020. Used to fight at featherweight and lightweight. 1-0 Bellator, 2012 pro MMA debut. 2 inches taller than McEwen, plus 190. McEwen, 7-2, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted 1 time. 4-1 in Cage Wars. He's gone 4-1 over his last 5, but he did lose his last fight. 8 years younger than Else, minus 240.
I mean, I can keep this breakdown real simple for people. There's a reason. You said negative 240?
Yeah.
That number's actually come down because the number I've gotten written down here is 265. So that's actually come down a touch. The reason McEwen is such a favorite here, and I can't believe anybody would bet on Else, is that like if you watch Cameron Else's fights when he was with the UFC, no wrestling defense to speak of, right? Like if you look at the two guys he lost to, you don't even necessarily think of them as wrestlers, yet they have takedowns and quick finishes against him. And it's just because like he's a good kickboxer. I like what I see from the feet. He won a contract. He's a Contender Series guy. Am I wrong?
I messed up. He was in the UFC. I forgot to mention that. 0-2 in the UFC. I don't think he wasn't on Contender Series, but he got knocked out by Kyler Phillips and then Eric Keelang in the UFC.
And the Keelang one the Key Lang one was a ground and pound finish, if I'm not mistaken, too. In like, yes, yes. Do you think of Aori Key Lang as like a good wrestler?
No,
not really. Really. And that's exactly what he did. So the fact of the matter is, in this fight, while I like Cameron Nelson's kickboxing, I just can't imagine he stays on his feet against Rhys McGuinn. And Rhys McGuinn is a guy who likes to box too, right? Like if you go back and you watch some of his other fights, it's not like he sprints out of his corner and shoots a double leg and has no other ideas. Like, I think he could hang on the feet with Cameron Els. I think if he wanted to box, this would be probably a fight where if it was just straight kickboxing, I might still line it for Rhys McGuinn at negative 135, negative 140. And then you add in the fact that he is actually a good wrestler, that he can take you down, he can take your back, he's got submissions, he's got ground and pound from there. Like, that gives him, that's why he's up at negative 240, right? Is that he has a more well-rounded game than Els here. I can't see any reason other than a Hail Mary KO to try to side with Els here. McGuinn, you know, again, negative 240, I think you could probably just get down on the money line. I mean, if you want to get real crazy and throw him in some parlays, that works too. But I even think there the money line is worth it.
All right. We're going with McGuinn minus 240 then. Is that their pick? All right, we're going to the main event now. As Gumby mentioned, it has Chris Bonnegard in it. He's from Scotland. He's fighting Dumitru Gerline from Italy. 3 5-minute rounds at 155 pounds. Gerline or Gerline and Bonnegard. Bonnegard, the bad guy, is 19-8. 5 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times. 3-1 in Cage Wars. He's won 2 straight and 4 of 5. Won his last fight via submission, went 2-3 in Bellator, has missed weight before, was a regional champ. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get sticky. 2013 pro MMA debut. 2 inches taller than Gerline, plus 125. Gerline, 7-2, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions, and he's been submitted twice. So he hosts his rounds. 2-1 in Cage Warriors, 4-1 over his last 5, including winning his last 5 via submission. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at 170 pounds, welterweight, 6 years younger than Bonnegard, minus 155.
I don't know if it's just hometown crowd or what here, but I'm going to go with Bonnegard as a slight dog. The thing about this dude is, like, I don't know that I think he's particularly awesome at anything, except for, like, he's just freaking really gritty. He's exactly what you would expect from a guy named Chris Bad Guy Bonnegard. Is he's just like a gritty ass dude who, I mean, I guess if I had to say something I really like about, I like the way he works against the cage. I like the way he grinds. I like the way he wears on people. I like the way he doesn't give up even when it's seemingly like he's way down in fights or stuff like that. And I think all of those play well against Gerline, because like, if you look at Gerline, it was his fight with, was it Hill? Leon Hill was the guy who he was fighting. When he was fighting Leon Hill, he had that dude's back like very early in the fight. And I was like, oh, yo, check out the wrestling here on Gerline and the jiu-jitsu on Gerline. And within 5 seconds, his back was taken. And I was just like, how did he give up that position so quickly and wind up in a bad position so quickly? And it's sometimes just like he doesn't settle into a position really well. And he doesn't, you know, he's a submission over position kind of guy, which is probably why he's got the subs he does. But at the same time, that's a terrible recipe against a guy who's tough and doesn't give up, right? Because that guy is going to keep moving. That guy is going to weasel out of any position if you give him 3 or 4 inches to do so. And I think Chris Bonnegard is perfect for that recipe. Like, he is going to out-scramble Gerline in this situation. He is not going to settle in a bad position, and he's going to punish him when he slips off of those positions. And so I like Bonnegard in this case. I think maybe we see him look pretty shoddy after the first round or two, and then like really start to pick up steam. I could see him getting a late finish. I could see him stealing the second round by just being tougher and having better cardio than Gerline. But like, I expect him to look a little bit rough out the gate, and then ultimately weasel something out.
All right. There you go. Weasel something out. Okay. There you go. Boom. Just like that. We got his picks. I'll break down those picks, and then we will go lightning round. All right. He's got Bonnegard as a slight dog. He's got McGuinn as a pretty big favorite. He has got Scatoli as a pick'em. He's got Deutsch as a dog. And he's got Quay Higgins, the Q-bomb, as a slight favorite. All right. Lightning round. Thoughts on the rest of the card?
So I like the rest of the card. There's a couple of prospects on there that I really like, and I wrote a few down even before the odds were out on what I deemed would probably be the prelims. The first one I wrote down was Ewan Davies. I do regret to inform you that since the line has come out and it's negative 800, so you know, maybe don't bet him, but one guy you probably want to keep your eye on the prelims is Ewan Davies. Super exciting prospect. A guy with like a billion fights before he got to this point. Well, he's got a lot of experience for a guy whose record looks like it does, because he doesn't have a lot of fights, but he's got a lot of like amateur experience. Let's put it that way. And I really think they just set him up with a fight with Diego Dixon, in a guy who they know he's going to roll over. So I like him, negative 800, maybe not tempting. And then a pair of underdogs I like Scott Malone over Nicholas Labanz. I think that, you know, maybe Malone's record hasn't looked all that great in his career. And I think that's just because he's fought like a really high level of competition, but I'm seeing him at plus 170 right now. And I think, you know, even LeBlond has fought some tough people too. I think you're going to see sort of that veteran work out of Malone and possibly see an upset there. And another upset I would look at, and this is one that I know you're going to love this name. I like McBain. McBain's been fighting Albert Diaz, and Albert Diaz is a guy, again, super tough, has like a really good resume when you look at all the fighters. He is 6-4, which is maybe not like the nicest looking record, but I think McBain being an underdog anyway shows how much people are underrating what he's able to do, because he's kind of just like, in my opinion, just kind of like a really well-rounded guy. And Diaz is a guy who, he's got some sub skills. He hits really hard, but also I just kind of don't trust his cardio all the time. And I think he tends to get caught himself. So yeah, I like both McBain and Malone here as slight dogs on the undercard. And I mean, I like Davies, but maybe there's no need to bet on him.
All right, there you go. That is KTRS 171 for you. If you want to chat about that or anything else, MMA related, you can check us out in the Discord. We're hanging out in the Fights channel, and we're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Lots of new people have been jumping in there recently, which is nice to see. You can catch us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there, and on Instagram. You can check out my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. I run a weekly UFC pick'em on there, and I have a bunch of good articles in my mind up there. So check that out. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. It's all about the Austins, even though their names are spelled differently, right?
Yeah. We got Austin Lane and Austin Hubbard on this week.
Yep. So check that out. And obviously, Gumby told you, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube. That helps us out greatly. Thank you. And check out all our work at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store for your clothing needs. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon so we can crush corporate gambling. We're gonna be back in your ear holes and eye holes tomorrow with Octagon MMA breakdown, another favorite of our friends on YouTube. So we'll be doing that. It'll be the phenomenal Jeff Fox and Q-Bomb Gumby Vreeland will be making the picks. We'll talk to them.